Lindsay, everything I do for Lindsay. I was there to get her from prison. I paid the bills, put hamburgers on the table. I put cigarettes and vapes in mouths. She didn't have something, I was there to give it to her. Sometimes I just wish I was back in Possum Holler, feeding the snapping turtles and trying to catch them with chicken necks. But I'm no longer in Possum Holler, and they bulldozed the general store. So I guess I'm stuck in wherever this is, and I guess I ain't got no more music. Wow, that was unfortunate. All right, fine, cut. We're doing the show. I asked you just to start over.
It cut off. I thought you were finishing. I thought it was going to be a perfect timing, and then you kept going.
That was Blaine's monologue that I'm going to use for auditions from now on.
Oh, I mean, this is going to, I would use this for a speech and debate conference when I was in high school. People would be really sobbing.
It was quite eloquent. I did enjoy, I put food on the table, cigarettes and vapes in mouths.
this couple is so made. Like, again, they could just start in their own movie of the week every week.
Y'all, it is the season finale of Lilu. Life After Lockup. Season 4, episode 50. This is the last one for I think about 6 or 8 weeks, at least 6, I believe.
Yes.
Because Mama June's coming in.
This episode is called I Do,
I Don't. I Don't.
I Do, I Don't. Sounds like the way Poodle gets married.
You know what? I do until I don't. That's the thing. I'm in it until I don't.
Until you don't.
Mm-hmm. Soon as that DNR is signed, I don't.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. So thank y'all for hanging with us. We'll talk about it maybe at the end. We'll give us our kind of thoughts on the season. Well, we'll say this episode was, as Poodle says, that made up thing that I don't think is real. That's not in Oklahoma, a poo poo platter.
It was all 7 couples.
Yeah.
And it's an annoying thing where they just kind of show you one scene and they give you snatches of it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked to see Justine and Michael. I thought that was the end of them.
We thought it was really, again, I don't think there's a lot of drama between them.
No. I think they're using the show for as much publicity as it'll give them. So more power to them to do it.
Good for them, because I think this is what, you know, as we jump in, which, by the way, so Love After Lockup or Life After Lockup is ending. However, You, Me, My Ex has come full force.
On this very tier.
On this very tier. It is, y'all, it is nutso. They told the casting director, can we find people that are just broken in real life trauma that hate one another? And the CD said, I got that. I got that with several people.
Yeah. And
got it.
We on our Patreon, some have commented about Kenzie, and some said, is she a real person? With that eye makeup and those close set eyes, it's something's going on.
Something's going on.
There are some women who are just the new girlfriends are being terrorized by exes, and the exes aren't going away, y'all. And they love what they're doing to the new girlfriends, and we're screaming, "Wake up and leave!" We've also got.
We got Caroline, just drag queen mugging to the camera.
Going for best supporting actress, because she's definitely supporting. She thinks she's the actress, but she's supporting.
She's supporting. But I will say, she's a scene stealer, because she gives Rachel Dratch mugging.
She does. It is like Debbie Downer.
Even the mole is mugging. Even her facial mole is going is showing out.
It is fantastic, everyone.
It's campy. It's definitely the campiest campy. Of the cringe tier. I think they're off to a slamming start. Not slamming. I'm thinking of what I'm going to get to tonight.
Yeah.
Smashing. That too.
Same thing. It all kind of works. So anyway, so we are not leaving y'all hanging. I think we're going to have probably like 6 or 8 weeks off from Love After Lockup. But and then we also have on the $5 tier, which you all get, we're going to get Selling Sunset. And then we're also going to get The Ultimatum.
Ultima Tum Tum, Queer Love.
Queer Love, which looks to be, if you like Puppy and Amber, then you're going to get a lot of that in Ultimatum.
It's
going to
be that energy.
It's going to be that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With shorter hair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be good. So,
and more like leather and more like metal studs on clothing.
Yes.
It looks like. We've also got our Seeking Brother Husband season finale coming up. I believe that's going to drop Monday or Tuesday, or maybe Wednesday. I'm not sure.
That will probably drop on Wednesday, actually.
Yep. That's with Cara Berry from Everyone's Business But Mine.
Yep. And this is the last week of Life After Lockup. However, next week we will be airing our interview with Lindsay. That'll be on the free feed as well because it's an interview, but it will be here for all of you.
It was truly riveting.
I will say this. As a teaser, we haven't teased this on the free feed, but I will tease this for all of you because you are Lilu stans. We did talk about Deontay's penis and tea was spilt.
It was scalding.
It was. It surprised us, especially surprised Poodle.
True. I still don't think he's good in bed. I know.
Give it away.
What she said did not prove it. I didn't say anything. Also, our Bicurious have returned to Amish. It's almost out. It's really enjoyable.
I think it'll be out by the time we listen to this,
yes.
Right? Yeah. All right.
Also, our April Bicurious won't be out yet. There'll be three choices for you to see quite soon. So you'll be getting that poll.
Okay, great.
I think that's all the announcements we need.
All right, let's jump into this. Okay, I want to say about Lindsay and Blaine first off, because you did the monologue and we laugh, and he looks so pretty when he cries, and it's so dramatic, and it seems so dramatic. However, what I will say is we see how hard it is in this country to get back on your feet when you've been incarcerated because we live in a capitalist country, everything is driven by money. And when you get out of prison, you have absolutely none of it. No one wants to give you a decent job, hardly, unless you have extenuating circumstance or a large network of people that support you. But you see how people that are born or live in poverty never get out of this cycle of incarceration.
And add addiction to that, which and both Lindsay and Blaine were touched by. Yeah, and
it is an act of Congress to just get yourself on your feet. It truly is.
Totally agree. And there's also in this country, there's an idea of, well, you deserved it.
Yeah.
There's this kind of behavior of, well, they're in jail, they deserve it. They don't deserve anything.
They don't do that.
Yeah.
At least not in this case. Some people, yes, but.
But I'm not saying I believe that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's the prevailing attitude in this country.
Yeah.
About and it's this kind of like, well, they committed a crime, so
you do the time.
Ideology. But is it fair to leave them with nothing? You're exactly right. When you're having to build your life back from absolutely nothing.
Nothing
after being incarcerated.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lindsay does talk a little bit about just that. She gave a lot of insight on what she of kind of the large team she's had of supporting her.
Yep.
So anyway,
it was a fun interview.
And honestly, it was fun, but also she really got real about some things. So we really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So let's move on. I think this was, I feel like they kind of talked Blaine into doing this whole litany of things. The ones closest to you, the ones who hurt you the most. And Lindsay finally calls him, and he's
stuff in the woods.
He's just breaking shit. He's in his own little what are those things called? The destroy rooms, or
those what are they called?
You're not gonna know this. smash rooms.
Not panic rooms. Oh, sissies are screaming.
Break rooms. I don't know. Who gives a fuck? Like, TLC was sponsored by them last year because everyone was on the show.
Everybody went to, yeah.
So y'all, he gets a call from the ponytailed lawyer.
They are called break rooms. They are called break rooms.
And he says, I'm trying to get your ankle monitored off, but I need 3 G's to make that happen. So just throw some money in my direction and I'm going to cast a spell and it's going to work. I got to go play bass with my cover band soon. And Blaine's like, blessings just keep pouring down. God, I just love the way he looks at the world. Is very much like, just like if he was a tent revival young preacher, but it also did drugs.
But, well, you can tell that he is very much into the program.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Very much into AA and like his higher power, which can be anything. Higher power is Christ, God. So good for him that he is acknowledging that.
And y'all, he gets home. Lindsay's like, look, you made it home. Not even opening the door to.
Like, well, I did this. I was out at the trailer doing stuff. And Lindsay immediately like, so you did nothing then? Nothing.
I'm tired of you belittling me. And then tells him about the ankle monitor, and he says, all he needs is $3,000. She freaks
out. Loses it.
And there's this moment where it did feel like it was solved really easily, but he does say, I have nobody, and I'm always thinking you're a flight risk, and I'm always going to leaving. And he's like, and I feel like clocking the hell out. And Lindsay basically says, I'm not good at relationships in general. And Blaine just starts crying.
God, and he's such a pretty... I'm going to say this. I think Blaine is the prettiest male crier we've had in our podcast.
I kind of agree with you.
And he looks up at the sky like he's praying, Lindsay.
I just need you to support me. It's so beautiful.
And she's like, what do you need? What do you need? And he's like,
I just need you and Molly.
And then
I'm tired of this repetitive cycle. I got to break it.
And she says, Blaine is my soft spot. And then they kiss. And then he basically takes her to the bed. And that's when I pulled back and I went, I'm feeling something.
Well, that's when Jake felt his soft spot.
I know. It is true. It's the perfect mix of tragedy and sexuality that really turns me on.
It really is. You love to be in the depths of sorrow.
Yes.
And then someone tittles your dick and you fuck it out.
Yep. That's what it's about for me. That's the best combination. And Lindsay's like, if Blaine isn't asking to marry him, I'm going to ask my damn self. So Lindsay knew she was going to make up with him. She just wanted to fuck with him. And that's Lindsay.
I mean, I do think part of her wants to fuck with him because she wants to feel loved and needed and missed. But then that's also what she gets tired of. So,
yeah. I did ask Lindsay if she'd ever considered being an actress. You'll have to wait to see what she says.
We did ask that. Yeah, we did.
Every puppy. Wow. Wow.
Molly.
I never saw this going here. I never saw. I will say this season of Lilu was worth it for this storyline, the Eris and Cameron storyline. I'm trying to think who else was worth it. What did I learn?
I think the biggest missed opportunity they had because of the way it ended was Brittany and Marcelino. They could have really shown us a lot of progression with them, of them like getting together, trying to work things out, and then it's all just broken again. It would have been tragic.
Something happened. I feel like they made the mistake of trying to cover too many couples this season. And you could have filled half of your season with Amber and Puppy.
Again, give them a whole show.
Instead of the same beat with Derek and Monique, which is laughable.
It's literally a sitcom. It's Amber, Puppy, and Queen all living in Wonder House. Literally,
it's Golden Palace.
It is.
What it is.
They need just one gay guy and the show is made.
The poverty version. Golden trailer.
Golden trailer.
So let's talk about y'all. TC rolls up, and if you remember from last week, Amber is cleaning out the house and with stickers that just say me on it.
Yeah.
And at one point, Puppy goes, we're just gonna go to the closet.
We're gonna go to the closet. Oh, by the way, before as we talk about trigger warning, they are gonna talk again about losing the baby.
Yes.
So if that is something later on they're gonna discuss. So just so you know if you need to skip.
So they he basically says she's like, if I'd have known the house was gonna be like this, and the house was clean, and you know, he's trying to show no emotion, and he thinks that's cute, or he thinks that that's what he needs to do. He's yawning. It's rough. And he basically...
Would you know, but sometimes, though, I can't remember what it's called. We studied it in school, how, like, with affect, like, when there's... I can't remember the term, but basically, yawning sometimes can be a symptom of an inability to, like, connect and feel those emotions. So when he was...
Think that's it then.
There's a term for it, and I just was too long.
Thanks for your expertise.
You know what? You can suck it.
So TC's basically keeps saying, she says, I don't know how you talk. We can talk about nothing, and that's not normal people's lives. And TC's like, well... not really sure what you're talking about here. He's just not acknowledging anything. Finally, he brought up the idea that she brought up the idea that he said, I'm not attracted to you, and that you knew what you were doing when you had the abortion. And he won't admit that. And he finally says, what? She's like, I'm done too. And they're talking about fighting. They're getting each other's faces about this truck.
It's screaming.
And at one point, she says, I want to be done with you. You don't give a fuck about me. And Tisa's like, I just fucking got over it. Amber breaks down in a way that we haven't seen her. And this is one of those moments where I'm like, I'm concerned about everyone's safety. Yeah. And she's like, I'm about to get mad. And I don't know if that's not her mad, I'm a little worried what her quote mad is. And she says, I need a minute. And Puppy's like, can I hug you? And at one point, Puppy goes, get a cigarette, queen. It's kind of like, get the jaws of life.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Get a cigarette, queen. And she keeps saying, I need a minute. I need a minute. And she goes outside and... he basically says, he's like, he said, talking to Puppy, he said that to me about the baby. He did. And she can't get over it because it's just like the worst thing you can say to someone that you wanted, for someone like Amber especially, that you wanted to, in TC's words, kill your baby.
Yeah. And I think that what she wants too, she wants him to admit all the things. She wants him to almost to say, I'm not in love with you anymore. She wants closure from him.
Mm-hmm. He's never going to do that, unfortunately.
I mean, he kind of, again, but they, you know, it's, again, I can't remember the word, but the whole, he does finally, when they kind of come back together, but the whole yawning thing, that is a sign of PTSD. And so, because the body's just trying to release anxiety. But I was shocked that when he came back, this, again, how we've talked about, there's men who don't like to talk about things. And then this isn't even about the miscarriage. Something happened to TC, whether it was physical abuse, emotional 100% abuse.
100% agree with you.
That he showed emotion as a child. I guarantee you he was probably a sensitive boy. I don't mean in a gay way, the way people talked about us, but he probably showed emotions and he was shamed and ridiculed for it.
Or maybe hit.
Or it was beat out of him.
I agree. Because that doesn't, even with men who are taught, you that doesn't, it happens through culture, but this is a very extreme example.
This is a trauma, a PTSD trauma response.
And he's talked about how his father was a terrible father and his father was a drunk, remember?
He did.
Yeah.
And the circle.
And because... or at least an addict, I think he mentioned. And he says, I suck at being a person. I can't deal with feelings.
That sucked when he said that.
Yeah. This was the first time I felt a little bit of empathy for TC this entire season.
I do.
And he said, you know, the minute you told me, this is when he says, this is where we're talking about the baby, y'all. The minute you told me about the baby, I named the baby. And y'all, she starts crying. He's crying. I saw the baby running around. And
all this lot, yeah.
And I'm, and y'all, I'm crying watching this. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, and I still don't want to talk about it. And I, it's not like, when I don't want to talk about it, it's not like I don't give a fuck. And he is
says,
crying
I'm not blaming
his eyes
you.
Out.
He's crying. She walks over and hugs him. And then he said, you see what he feels about an emotion. He actually says, it's hard to deal with it. And then you bury it. But once you let it out, it just keeps coming and it won't stop. And that it definitely is like anxiety, PTSD. You feel like if you release emotion, it won't. And Amber says, again, everything is so poetic. And Amber says, no, actually, when you let it out, that's how you let it out and how you begin to heal.
Yeah.
It was.
It's crazy. It's crazy good.
It was beautiful. Very sad, but beautiful in that, like, the capacity of humanity of Amber to still care for this person in this moment when he literally blamed her for a miscarriage.
I think this is what you learn in recovery programs. Yeah. Yeah. You really do learn to lead with your feelings, to give importance to them, but to know that they are feelings and they're there and you can notice them, but you don't have to become them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that she's basically she's like, you know, just tell me you love me and you're sorry and we can be friends. And that was how quickly Amber processed this. TC will never be able to process anything that quickly because of what Amber's had to go through in her life.
Yeah.
And it just tells you that's all she needed from him. Yeah. It's just an acknowledgement that he was hurting.
Yeah. And that, yeah. Because I get it. When you're in that situation, you keep thinking, am I crazy? Is something wrong with my awareness, my perception? And you just need that validated.
So y'all basically says, Amber's like, why do you think it's come to this for you to tell me how you feel? And he just says, there's just no reason to hate me. And Amber's like, all right, I got to go.
And she leaves.
And that's how it ends. And I was just like, what a season for them.
I know.
Think what's happened. We've had both of these women had significant others. They both blew up their marriages or relationships.
And they were with significant others that were honestly had more emotional baggage than they had.
Yeah.
And that's saying something because puppy's carrying around a lot.
And they went and then through it all, they still, with complications, they relied on each other to break them out of them.
It's like a modern day Thelma and Louise, but they're not driving off the cliff. I really do need to see that movie.
I think you do because that they're actually not like Thelma and Louise at all.
Oh, okay. Maybe they'll show it on a plane.
Maybe.
All right. Shall we move on?
Sean and Sarah, baby farts, baby farts. She's getting new boobs, y'all. She's worried about Anthony being in her daughter's life. Mom calls him a bitch, but he goes off without a hitch. It's Sean and Sarah. That's it.
kind of summed it up.
I did. I think if I just sing about it, we can go through some of these. There was no need for this to be going on one more episode.
No.
I really do think that a lot of sissies came about this saying, Sarah is an idiot for letting this man completely come into her life and basically the kid's sitting on this guy's lap. A lot of people had those feelings. I can understand that.
I'm hoping there's more that we just haven't seen in the edit, but it does feel very rough. Yeah, it bothered me too. So
she got new boobs.
I mean, that's really it. She got new boobs, y'all. That's the storyline. And Sean gave the baby a bath, and so she thinks Sean's a good dad now.
And y'all, that baby looks just like him.
It does. It's a very cute fat baby. A very cute.
I just like the baby farted hugely. They're like, you feel better?
Yeah, I always do. It really is. I remember taking care of my daddy. You really do become a baby again. One time, my dad had such bad gas, and I remember rubbing his stomach and everything, and he finally farted, and I was like, oh, that feels better, Matthew. And I said, good, just like a baby. I'm not going to do that for you. I'm just going to wheel you out. Yeah,
we don't do home health minutes anymore. One last thing I want to say. I hope they move into another house, because this bordello chic is all. Even bordellos would go, why is that house so ugly? The color scheme, everything in their house is fucking hideous. I don't ever want to see it again.
It's not pretty. Tater and Chance. Now look, y'all. We don't want to be right with Tater and Chance. We don't want to be right. But we call this the second episode that he's an alcoholic and he needs to get into treatment. And thank God he's finally recognizing that.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a quick cleanup on aisle four for me.
I agree.
They didn't really, it's like when someone spills something or when someone throws up in your elementary school, the custodian just puts that pink powder all over it and just like scoops it up and doesn't really do a lot of cleaning. Did you have the powder on the vomit?
I feel like I remember that once you said it, but I don't fully remember.
Yeah. You every time a kid would puke, our janitor, Carmen, a man named Carmen, would just pour just some pink puke powder, throw up powder on it, and kind of like shovel it up.
Wow. Did you ever throw up at school?
You know, I don't remember doing it. I think I
threw
I
up once in a bathroom, but I don't think I threw up like in a public.
But you know, kids, they're always throwing up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's what this felt like. It was a quick powder vomit cleanup. It wasn't, I kind of thought we, this was one of the few storylines. This also has been a super compelling story this season.
It really has.
But this one and the other two that we mentioned earlier, I think are the only ones that I would really care to see.
I will say, I wrote at the end of this, of Tater and Chance, I wrote, I am still invested.
I am too.
Mainly, it's completely turned around. That, remember, I am shocked. Not that I ever disliked her. I never really did. I'm sure you did, because you hate everybody at first.
No, I don't.
I do. He does. But I so am invested in Tater's happiness.
And Tater, I don't know if I am, but yeah, not. Yeah. I do think it's good that she's standing up for herself more.
She's a different person than when we met her.
I agree. So y'all, basically, he's waking up at 1 p.m.
Okay.
Hungover. He looks like shit.
He looks like, okay, who the fuck is this friend and where is he?
Zach.
There is, I don't, what type of cabin shit? There's an outdoor cat that in some type of cabin, and he's given like, and the gruffest, like most grizzly.
He's talking like this.
It's almost like, I feel like.
You need structure. You need counseling.
Is this like the hillbilly version of Morgan Freeman, who comes down as God to give you advice and then just goes away and we never see him again?
Like Deliverance Yoda.
Yes.
You need alcoholic.
You need
alcoholic, you is. Here, cat, he is. Love. Love, cat.
Marlboro Light, you got? But he said, and then the weirdest thing is, and this is why it felt a little like we got to get all this in one episode. With Chance, like, yeah, I am an alcoholic. Because I when I wake up, I chug 3 shots. What?
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 We never saw that.
Okay, and I'm not going to blame Tater here, but she can't have thought that that's normal.
Well, I want to say, I don't know if she noticed it, because think about it.
Makes sense. You're right.
He's completely checked out. She's A, going, her hormones are adjusting from having a baby. Didn't she have a C-section?
You're right. Yeah.
And so with a new baby, I totally think that, I agree. I think if she noticed it because of Bobby, she probably would notice the, but I don't think she was even had her head above water to see it.
Yeah, it's a good point. It just made this a little harder to believe for me, I think. And he hasn't heard from Taylor all day. Of course not. And calls her and he starts with, I'm so, so sorry. And I know you don't deserve what happened. And we do find out that Tanya is a peer educator and a social worker, which made sense. Yeah. I do still think she was treating Chance more like a kid than a romantic partner.
Yeah.
But I think Taylor's too blind to that. And I think that's just part of her. I think she's
Chance is going to have to get a male sponsor.
Yeah. And you know, I think work on Chance's issues and then you can work on Tater's trust issues.
Look, Chance needs to work with males because obviously Chance has a problem with his own father. He has a problem with his older son. He has issues, I think, around fatherhood. And he knows, because he used to be really cute and charming, he can get more of his way with women. He doesn't know it probably consciously, but subconsciously, I think he's scared of other men. So he apologizes to her, at least, though he goes in and he finally admits that he lost his job and isn't going to have a job until summer. Yeah. And Tater kind of at the end says, well, you know what? I hope he gets his stuff together. I'm not going to be able to trust him. But she says, I'm not afraid to try. I'll make it on my own.
I'm glad they gave her that moment. He also does
say, I never like the way I feel. Well, I keep it real, you know.
By the way, this is why these shows are really long.
You know what? I will sing Whitney if I want to sing his. That was when she broke up with Bobby. That was a very important song for me.
Not afraid to ride.
I love that. I live my life the way I feel. No matter what, I keep it real, you know.
So Chance basically says, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Marriage counseling. I know I'm not well. And that's a big thing. I hope it wasn't all talk. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know how truthful their situation is because he's such a good salesman.
He's a con artist.
Yeah. And it's, she does say, I'm not going to be able to trust Chance the same as before. And she's like, I was fine as a single mom before. I can do it again.
Harrison Cameron, let's do it.
Yep.
Sisters
are doing it for themselves.
Yeah, me, long shows.
That's what I'm saying. I do a line, you keep going.
No, it's not true. I did two lines.
Right.
So,
Kia and Steph are visiting.
Y'all, I love this family.
I know. I'm so glad we met his family, Lena. Her friend.
I like her dad too. He's really kind of his lucky.
He's fine.
But I feel like this. They are building up again. I could almost see a spinoff of this family.
I don't know if they do those.
But I don't. They don't. But I'm just saying, there's a lot to work with here. The sisters show up, and they're. I feel like they're being a little hard on because Cameron finally admits, again, we brought this up with him. We brought this up in his storyline. And I think that it's.
No, you're right. You nailed it. Because you said he was in. He didn't call it AA, but he said.
But I said he was an alcoholic and something happened.
I'm in a program for it.
Yeah. Because remember, y'all, it was like we didn't see them for 2 months. I think shit got real bad. And I think it's interesting how. They don't want to show that. It gives me a little bit of a sketch of from the producing. Are you producing it that this is always the fun, lovey, light couple?
I think they are.
Honey. And that a little bit is a fraudacity, I think, on this. Like, show the real picture.
Or maybe it wasn't maybe, you know, there's always the potential that that not everything got caught on camera that was the worst of it.
That's true.
And so, but the thing about the sisters are playing into this idea of he's like, pop this bottle. And he's like, well, you know, you don't have to take a shot. I just brought this to you. And the sisters kind of already know. And y'all, he's just bickering with his sisters because he's pissed and probably wants to drink because he's a little triggered because he's used to being their little brother.
They like when the one sister said, I think he needs to move back home. And I went, that's the worst thing for him to do. Because clearly his family triggers him.
Well, I think he's the youngest. It feels like the energy feels like it. They boss him around. Which they think is a fun way. And they even call him sensitive. He's like, I'm not fucking sensitive. He really is sensitive. He's extremely sensitive.
And you know what? Great for you, Cameron, that you're sensitive. That's probably one reason why you're a good artist.
Yeah, totally agree.
Sensitivity. It's your superpower.
And he says, you're right. Alcohol was a problem. I peed in the closet. I know what you're going to say. I peed on your door, not in the closet.
No, you didn't pee on my door. You opened my door, leaned against my door frame, and thought it was a bathroom and just peed on my carpet in the middle of my bedroom.
That was after a bad night of drugs.
Thank you. You finally, it's been 5 years, no, 7 years, and you finally admitted that.
Someone gave us something. Yes. I did not do drugs.
Drug friend Happy, yes, his name was Happy, that's his Christian name, gave you drugs.
He didn't give me drugs. We were given drugs by somebody else.
You finally admitted it after 8 years.
No, that's what I said. I think someone slipped us something.
You have never admitted it. You said, I was just drinking. And I said, that cannot be true.
Well, I'd always thought that. I don't remember you saying that.
I was right.
I don't remember you saying that. So they are.
I'd see it in a closet, let's be honest.
They don't. They're kind of shaming him with this, and it's not. They are the best.
I don't like it. Like, he's actually doing better. And they're actually they're giving him like this tough love thing and telling him what to do.
Not good for him.
And I'm like, clearly what Cameron's doing is working for him. He's in a much better place. Anyway, it just fell out.
We're at dinner with Dad and the sisters.
Y'all, they're in Ybor City with the Roosters in Tampa.
Saw that. We've been there.
Oh, by the way, Cameron's right. Those ducks outside are fucking fucked up and look weird, and I would be scared of them.
Did you think that the fact, and they brought it up that, sister, Cameron didn't tell us that you were sick, and I realized he never did.
No, you didn't remember that? Yeah, he never did.
Because he was kind of pissed at her.
Yes.
And the fact that he gave her a bad rep with his family for no reason. It's rough. And the sisters are like, that was Cameron's fault. And he's like looking like a fool again. And Cameron tells Aris's father, you taught me a new energy. And because Cameron's going, we need a pink lemonade. And father's like, don't holler in this space.
No, I love that. That's why this show's really good, because you've got his sisters, but then you got his dad, and he connects with his dad because they were the ones that were both incarcerated.
Yeah.
And you can tell Cameron probably didn't have like a father figure or a mentor.
That's true.
Aris's dad can be that. But then you like the way you have the sisters going, when I liked how he announces they're pregnant, he takes off his shirt and there's a sonogram. On the shirt. And I like how one of Cam's sister, like in a nice way, is like, Lena, why didn't you call me and let me know? Like, they're already feel so inclusive. I love this family.
Also, it's so fucking obvious she's pregnant.
It's very obvious. Very obvious.
There's no need to tell anyone.
Yeah, it's very obvious.
Like the bugs on the wall are like, what's that pregnant bitch eating?
Oh, is she going to eat them?
The shrimp in their dishes are like, oh, about ready to get eaten by a pregnant woman.
Anyway, so Steph, his older sister, said, you know, he turns up to the max, but I see him making some changes. So he's going to be a girl daddy, so hopefully he will do it for her.
Monique and Derek, he's gonna propose. She's not sure and leaves him there for a while, but then she shows up anyway. He said, we're gonna go ice skating. And I don't know why he thought Monique would enjoy that.
Look. There is. That is the Monique would have broken an ankle in the first 3 minutes.
No, I don't know. Just from the way Monique moves.
She doesn't even walk in heels. I'm not talking about a sizing or anything like that. I'm just talking the way she walks in heels. Clearly, she would I would be terrified. Shows how little he knows her.
In what world?
In what world?
I liked it when she's like, I'm not going doing that.
It'd be like me saying, oh, I want to take Jake to something nice. I'm going to take him to a balloon popping fair.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
True. Or it's not the same.
Y'all, this is what we're going to tell you with this. Guess what? He apologizes. He asks to get married. She says yes. That's all you need to know. What's more important is we're going to do this as a Lilu Theater because we had an engagement on an ice rink. I'm going to be playing the role of Cameron and Monique, and Poodle's going to be playing role of that snowman Cameron was or Derek was pushing around on the fucking ice skating rink like a 5-year-old kid holding on to as he asked Monique to marry him.
Okay.
Is this our first ice skating rink theater?
I believe so. Definitely our first ice skating / snowman theater. Okay.
And without any further ado.
I don't know how this is going to go.
Action. I don't want to go. Who's that? Who's that? Derek, who's that talking? Derek, who's that talking?
Oh, I'm just there to help you keep your balance, little
baby,
snigger.
Monique, I don't know who's talking right now. I think it might be that little snowman. That's a weird voice.
Just put your hands right on top of my head.
Okay, steady me, snowman. Steady
if
me.
If you're lucky, you can just gulp me around my backside. What?
That's it's quite weird, ample, snowman. You know? I'm trying. Let me do this, snowman. I'm going to get on one knee.
My carrot's getting hard.
What? That's a freaky deaky. What's that freaky deaky snowman
ice skating
saying?
Is hard. Ice skating is hard.
What the fuck, Derek?
Like your abs.
Derek, are you cheating on me with that snowman?
They're feeling. I don't know. I can give you more than she can.
Yo, Snow. What the fuck, Snow? I'm trying to ask my woman to marry me, Snow.
At least I can get on the ice. You know,
Derek. I'm done with this shit. You fucking a motherfucking carrot-ass snowman, Derek. I'm done.
You know, I've got a hole where my mouth is.
I'll think about it, yo.
You can steady yourself while you propose.
And sing.
That was weird.
I started doing that, and then you did that snowman voice, and it just felt creepy, and I wanted to end it as soon as possible. Thanks for making me want to take a shower. Thanks for that.
My mouth is a hole.
Thanks for that. Thank you for completely stopping the show with your disgustingness.
You've done it before. You've done that before when you played a third party, so I won't apologize.
Barney did freak everyone out at a lot.
That's gross. So basically,
that's all I have.
He says from now on, and of course she says yes, y'all, because what else would she need to have?
The seventh time is a chance.
Charm, yeah.
Charm, whatever. Let's talk about Justine and Michael, shall we?
Yeah.
I'll give it to you, Poodle. I'll give you the downbeat.
Sure. Justine and Michael. This is like 80s style rap. I got a gig. I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to propose to my girl again, even though my manager Mocha don't like it. But he's into it, and he says that's the way things go. He sees I'm stubborn, and my girl is my girl. She's my baby girl. That's it.
That's it.
There was one lovely thing that Justine said.
She looks gorgeous.
She does. I love Vegas for her.
I know.
First of all, her tiggle bitties are basically saying hi to everyone in the room.
She, in that outfit, she is fucking serving it.
Adi, adi, adi.
She looks great.
So, and then she basically says, holy shit, that's my husband. Look at him go. I love that for them.
I will say this. Very rarely on one of these shows have we seen the way Michael was so nervous, and it actually was very touching to me, how Justine was a constant cheerleader to him. And even though she was annoyed, like the line that she said, even if I'm the only person there cheering you on, babe, I will do it. And she said, and if it doesn't go well, this will be something we laugh about when we come home and we'll brush it off.
You know what they have?
It was amazing.
What they treat each other with that a lot of people don't on this show, kindness.
Yeah.
They're just kind to one another. And some people are funny. And there you can tell there's kindness underneath the surface, but they just treat each other with such overt kindness. And it's a wonderful thing to see on this show. It's a good palate cleanser.
And that rap we did was abysmal. However,
good.
His is really fucking good.
It is. He knows what he's doing.
He's very talented.
Both he and Cameron do.
Yeah.
Marcelino and Brittany, where do we begin? Where do I begin? As Dame Shirley Bassey once uttered.
She's dead, so we don't.
She's not!
Shirley Bassey? I thought she passed away.
No. She's fine.
Oh, no. Nope.
You said it, and I rebuked you.
No,
so we're fine.
Why did you say that?
You said it. No, you said it.
But you brought her name up first.
But no, you called her dead. She's fine. No, you know what? I'm not saying it because I rebuked you, so it doesn't matter.
God,
if I immediately say no, she's alive, it doesn't count. Okay. You need to stop saying shit like that.
Yeah, I don't do it. You do.
You'll pay for that. Dame Shirley Bassey will not be ignored. We wouldn't have gold. We wouldn't have diamond pussy without Shirley Bassey.
Forgot about diamond pussy. That was a good one.
Diamond pussy. Wow.
So Cindy, the mom, shows up, comes to find out Marcelino flew her out. She's going to, because it's the day of the wedding and they're going to go to the beach. This is all about, I kind of want to just kind of get to it because there's all the buildup of them doing all the makeup and trying things on. And Brittany, the thing is that you see what I noticed, and I kind of wrote this in the beginning. I feel like Brittany is being authentic and Marcelino's going through the motions. And then that came to pass. At least that was the gut feeling. Things like when Brittany said, you can tell Brittany's really in her program and doing the work because her mom says, well, you know, are you ready to get married? And Brittany said, you know, I'm not into chasing happiness because that's a feeling that comes and goes. And I went, that part.
Well, I totally agree.
Marcelino's not there.
Well, I don't think Marcelino's been in this for
years.
At least a year, maybe more than that.
They get married and it's really what is hard. And I think Brittany, I think I've been through it. A lot of sissies have been through it. When someone completely catfishes you with their words and a lot of all his vows, I was so moved by his vows.
Yeah, they were nice.
And then I realized after we kind of learned all this, it's all this future faking. This idea of, let me talk about how good our life is going to be. And it's all, my heart broke for Brittany because how is she ever going to trust anyone again?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's what her program is for, but it's going to take her a long time.
I think she just needs to be by herself, y'all, because if you didn't watch, they have the renewal ceremony. It's this really beautiful thing.
Cheers, husband. Then 2 months later.
Yeah.
And she says, the last 2 months have been confusing and difficult. She's like, I actually snooped through Marcelino's phone and found that he was talking to someone, some other woman, and he hasn't changed. And she said, we're not together. And I'm going to focus on my kids. And she's left, and she says, and then at one point she goes,
and she said, I told him he had one chance, and I made that clear.
You know what? I think maybe she'll see now, in retrospect, she'll see this as, this was a mate of hers for a season. I really hope they don't get back together, because I think she's moved way past where he was and where he can go.
Yeah.
And this was happened for a season, and this was what I needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't either able to grow with me or he was growing in a different direction, which is, she'll make her peace with that.
and then she'll maybe find someone else.
Or he wasn't growing at all.
Yep.
There's that too. Sometimes people just aren't growing. And I kind of get that vibe from Marcelino. It's like he wants things to always stay the same, and he still feels resentment from her from opening up the relationship, I still think.
Yeah, I agree with you. Where are they now? The only thing, just a couple things down there. Michael.
It was really short.
Yeah, Michael booked for a lot more performances. He's still working. Sarah loves her new boobs.
Harrison Cameron having a baby in August, and Blaine is saving up to get his ankle monitor off.
Chance has found work, but the engagement is on hold. Good for Tater.
Good for Tater.
And this is, what is this?
Oh, best one. Amber moved in with Queen and Puppy, and Puppy is making money by selling her clothes. And then they showed her at a store just selling her shit.
And Derek is in a long distance engagement with Monique, which y'all know what that means.
Yeah.
He's getting his dick wet every other night.
Yep. Sure is.
That I honestly, I know it's funny, but I don't want to see them again. It is a joke storyline that the punchlines have been removed from. I'm just over it.
I'm over it too.
And the last little bit of this, Marcelina and Brittany have been separated, but they're going to co-parent in Florida. Oh, that's the season, y'all. Fuck. They need to only do six couples from now on, and the stories need to be compelling.
Yeah, it was too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. I don't think we needed Lindsay and Blaine, even though I like watching them. I don't know how much was given to us.
This season was just hit or miss. It was very, either some episodes were really good or had really great moments, but there felt like there was a lot of fat that we had to get through.
For the first time.
Normally it feels all meat. It's not.
Yeah. I could have done without Derek and Monique. I could have done without Lindsay and Blaine. I could have definitely done without Sean and Sarah this season.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay Not and Blaine, necessary. I enjoyed Lindsay and Blaine only because you do see how they're struggling to just get back to life. So I'm still invested in that storyline. But all right,
anywho,
let us know what you think. Pop up in the comments below on our Patreon, or there is also a post that you can click on your Supercast as well. Let us know in those comments. All right, everybody. Thank y'all so much for hanging with us. Don't worry, we're going to take a little break, but
we'll be back.
In a few months, and we'll...
I think it's love during lockup.
I think it's going to be love during lockup, yeah. I know, the best one. So we'll see you in a couple months. Until then, y'all, we will what, Poots?
We will Lulu.
See you later.
Lock me in.